Welcome to the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. With over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist, I am dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Learn about the power of thought and how it shapes your life to take risks, change careers, find love, go on adventures, and live passionately with me, Dr. Diane. Get ready for revolutionary ways of thinking, being, and creating an amazing life. The Dr. Diane Show starts now. Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Diane Hayden, and you are listening to the Dr. Diane Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour while we will explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul. Each time on the Dr. Diane Show, we will have experts from around the country discussing cutting-edge topics on longevity, natural health, mindset, and soul purpose to help you shift your perspective and become a mindset warrior like me. I'm excited today to have Lori Ingram on our show. She combines over 40 years of corporate experience with deep passion for spiritual well-being. Grounded in mindful practices, Lori guides her clients to discover their true, authentic selves. Lori offers both one-on-one work as well as small and large group presentation and workshops, offering practical and real-world ways to connect with your true nature and allow your life path to unfold. So welcome, Lori. How are you today?
I am great. Very excited to be here, Diane.
Awesome. So I thought we would start with, I didn't read this in your bio, but your actual, you know, credential is a certified interspiritual counselor. And so
I
remember when I met you, I'd never heard that before. So let's start with there, just telling people a little bit about what that is and how you work with people.
What that is it's a very good question. So in addition to that, I'm actually also an ordained interfaith, interspiritual minister. And essentially interspiritual is being spiritual, but not aligning with any particular faith or religion. So nowadays, it's actually the fastest growing identification for people in this country and in the world. They consider themselves spiritual, but for many reasons do not feel that a religion or a specific faith tradition is really what they want to pursue, or perhaps they did at one point and really have a much broader view of spirituality. So if you ever have that question asked in a questionnaire where it says, what faith are you? You'll often see spiritual, but not religious. That essentially is interspiritual.
Yep.
And there's a lot of research about how the evolution of the world and consciousness and how it's really evolving into more of a spiritual collective consciousness.
Well, I love that because that's exactly how I would categorize myself. I was actually raised Catholic. And
as was I, yes.
Yeah. And yeah, we've had our little talks about that. It was interesting.
Right. It was.
And learned a lot, and I don't regret, you know, growing up that way. But there was always something, even when I was a kid, that I felt like I couldn't relate to it, I guess. I could never understand why I just couldn't go talk to God. Why did I need this like go-between guy, you know,
right,
interpreter or something, like God speaks some foreign language and I've got to talk to the priest to talk to
exactly.
God. Or I have to go to this person and confess. I mean, that's the word, right? Like,
that is,
you know, I did this, I did that, whatever. And then this person is going to like bring something down, you know, from the universe to make sure everything's okay. To me, it was always like, why can't I just, like, I always felt like, I know I have that connection. I don't need this guy, this intermediary, I guess. So, and I love that, the way that you explained it, because I feel like that's really what we need in the world today is interspiritual practices, right? Where
exactly
everyone can have come from a religion or even still practice a religion, but yet we all know that we're really all the same, right?
We are. And I'm, you know, as an interfaith minister, I officiate weddings, and I begin every wedding that I officiate by saying, as an interfaith, interspiritual minister, I believe that there is a common language. And I do believe there's a common language to all faiths, to all traditions. And even if you don't believe in anything, love is the common thread through everything. That's one of the things I learned in seminary, is that every religion has a basis in love and acceptance and compassion. That's the commonality that we could all, I think sometimes we just don't always connect to that, but.
Or forget.
We forget. Or,
right. It's when we get caught up in my religion is the right religion, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yes. Mine's better than yours, or.
Yeah. And to me, I don't know, like, I feel like if you search deep enough, you have to know that there's something just fundamentally not right with that thought or belief.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of that is the construct we grow up in. And, you know, we spend a lot of time in our lives undoing a lot of what we may have grown up with. And I, after my 2 years of seminary, I went on and did 2 years of interspiritual counseling training so that I could work one-on-one with individuals to really unpack their own spirituality and really understand what their truth is, what their beliefs are. As part of that, one of the things I have my clients do is what I call a spiritual life map. And I have them look back at their life, not necessarily from a chronological perspective, although that does factor in, but look at the major events in their life that impacted their view of spirituality. Now, for myself, I grew up Catholic, always felt very constricted. I always felt like you, but I always felt like there was something missing. You know, there were questions that I wanted to ask that I felt like I couldn't ask. And I fell away from all of that, you know, as a young adult, but always had this fascination with mysticism and mystery. And it was really about 10 years ago in my corporate job where I said, you know, there's got to be something more than me just going to work every day and bringing home a paycheck. There has to be some meaning. And that propelled me on this journey of self-exploration and discovery and spiritual seeking and a realization that it really wasn't the what I did every day at my job, but it was how I showed up, how I treated people, the energy I brought, right? So that then really opened up my eyes to who I really was and decided that this was the work that I was really meant to do here. But it took my life for me to get to this point because I can use everything I've learned in the past 40 some years with my clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you have them do a spiritual life map. I didn't even know that.
Yes, I do.
But I think that's really important because I think a lot of people stray away from whatever religion they were raised in, because like us, it didn't relate to them or whatever. Or, you know, they got a divorce, so they got thrown out of the church.
that too. Right? In there. Yes.
Yeah. And then I think they, if they haven't been exposed to spirituality in some other way, I think there's kind of like just this gap where you don't really know where to go. Like, you know, that you don't align with your religion. Maybe you look at other religions, maybe they don't align with you. And you are kind of, because I'm speaking like this, because this is kind of what happened to me, like floundering, I guess. I didn't think I was floundering in the time. But before I had this event in my life, which totally popped into my mind when you said, oh, you have your clients do a spiritual life map, I didn't connect with any religion or spirituality. I was just kind of like, you know, living my life, going to grad school, doing whatever, but yeah, always feeling like something was missing. Mm-hmm. And then I had a couple traumatic events happen to me. And I ended up going down just this path of reading, like just picking up these spiritual books and reading, not even knowing why I was drawn to them. I think because I was trying to figure out like, what am I going to do now with my career?
Right.
And so I went through it kind of on the path of maybe doing some life coaching and then into just just being fascinated like you with mysticism and reading about soul purpose and past lives and all kinds of stuff like that. And that's how I got into it.
It's fascinating. And as an interspiritual counselor, and there's many words for it, and you can hear it described, and some people call it a spiritual director. I don't really, it's a little too prescriptive for me. Spiritual coach, spiritual advisor are all different words that get used, but I guide and companion, really, my clients to their own truth. You know, I don't tell them what to think, because I believe we all have the wisdom here. What we need to do is uncover it. You know, we need to pull those layers apart. You know, and by and large, every one of my clients, usually in the first meeting, will say to me, thank you for just seeing me. Because a lot of the questions they have no one to really talk to about. You know, some of the questions, if they've had mystical experiences, they may not have anybody that can even listen to them without telling them that perhaps, you know, they're crazy or they're, you know, whatever. But I hold space for whatever people are experiencing and really do, through deep listening, guide them. And then I have all sorts of modalities that I've been trained in based on my clients. I can pull in other modalities. You know, meditation and mindfulness are the thread through everything I do, because that's what essentially changed my life 10 plus years ago. But that, coupled with other modalities, can really help that process of self-discovery.
Yeah. So that kind of leads to my next question. Why do you think someone would choose to work with you versus, say, just a life coach or even a therapist?
Even a therapist. The difference really is that as a counselor from a spiritual perspective, I don't label, I don't diagnose. I really let the experience unfold for my clients. So while I might make suggestions on things we can do or try, I'm never going to label somebody as, you know, anxious or this or that, because I believe we're all innately whole. So I think that's really the biggest difference. It's a very much a partnership. And my role in that partnership is to ask probing questions, to use my intuition. And I've always been very intuitive, didn't really realize it, but until about 10 years ago when I realized what it was. And use my intuition and really my connection to spirit to help my clients essentially guide themselves. And there's a little bit different than perhaps a life coach who might give you workbooks and things like that. While I might do that, I don't really have a formula. I let my clients help me pull the right tools together for them.
And I'm sure other people are thinking or, you know, wondering about this. What do people typically come to you for? Is it mostly relationship issues, or could it be career issues or health issues, or kind of all across the board?
It's mostly career and relationships. So by and large, most of my clients are at a point in their lives where they don't feel fulfilled, but they don't know why. Many of my clients have seen life coaches, have seen therapists, have done career counseling, and they just can't seem to land on the right thing. And so there's this kind of nudge in the back of their head, you know, that little voice that's saying, you know, maybe it's something deeper. So that's probably, by and large, the majority of my clients. Many of them have had, you know, corporate jobs, rethinking where they are in life. Perhaps they're at the point in their career where they could make a change, or in some cases they come to me because they don't have a job, but they don't want to go back into what they were doing, right? So that's probably the majority of folks that do come to me. Most of them are women. And, you know, they say when I was in seminary and counseling, you know, we counsel and we companion people where we've been. And, you know, I'm a woman. I'm at the tail end of a corporate career, very, very tail end of a long corporate career. I've been divorced. I've had big financial problems. I'm a single mother. You know, I've been through it all and working that whole time.
So I can really
understand.
Right. And I think that's why those types of people are drawn to you. We're going to talk more about that. You are listening to the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will explore more with Lori Ingram, certified interspiritual counselor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
We're back on the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me. You can find me at www.drdianehayden.com or at either of my publications, www.naturalnutmeg.com and www.essentialnaples.com. And you can learn more about Lori at www.loriingram.com. That's LauriIngram.com. So welcome back, Lori. I wanted to just follow up a little bit with what we were talking about before the break in terms of the kind of people that typically come to you. And I think initially when you said, oh, you know, usually it's for career issues, like someone has left a career or they're unfulfilled in their career. I mean, initially, I think people might be surprised to hear that because I think when they think about, you know, interspiritual counselor, they're probably thinking, oh, it's someone with relationship issues, or, oh, it's someone who, you know, is maybe struggling with their spirituality or even maybe a health issue. But mm-hmm. I think, like I was saying, I think why you have attracted clients specifically for career is because that has been your path, like you said.
That is my path.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And we do attract what we've been through, essentially. Like, I can't tell you how many naturopaths I know that their whole practice is based on Lyme disease patients because they struggle with Lyme disease.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. But, and gosh, what, you know, like nowadays with all of the people who have either lost their job or had to change jobs or, you know, were put into a situation where they started working from home and just had more time and realized, I don't really like what I'm doing anymore. This is a huge opportunity for people to work with you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I was there. I'll tell a brief little story. Over the weekend, I met with some friends of mine that I hadn't seen in a while. And I explained that I'm going to be winding down my career and taking what I've been doing part-time as a counselor full-time. And I just said, and this is where mindfulness really helps. I became acutely aware at that moment that of two things. One, that for a good part of my career, I really didn't like what I did from a technical perspective, like what I did, you know. But what I've always enjoyed in those 40 years was working with people and how I showed up. And using my intuition, even when I didn't know what it was, and being a good listener. As I was always told, you're such a good listener. I always feel better after I talk to you. You know, these were all themes in my career that had nothing to do with being an IT technologist. And it was this aha moment over the weekend of those dots connecting that really speak to the types of clients that are attracted to me and that I really enjoy working with. It's nothing, you know, more heartwarming than to launch, you know, to work with someone for a few months and then, you know, see where they go and launch them. So
that's exciting. Well, yeah. I love what you just said, because I think for maybe for some people, it's not that they need to leave the job they're in, but maybe mm-hmm. it's just they need to look at it a different way. And you
absolutely
you were able to bring meditation and mindfulness into your work, and amazing that your company like embraced that, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think more companies are now for sure. I mean, even the huge corporations are doing it. So, but I think that's great. And for people to think like, don't look at it like if you're unhappy in your position right now, yes, maybe you do need to change and get, maybe your purpose is to do something else, but maybe like you for the first part of your career was, it was more about, okay, I'm in this position for a reason because my purpose is to bring mindfulness to this company.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where doing that spiritual life map of looking at your life from a different lens really helps. You know, first of all, it's when I'm working with my clients, you know, for, at the beginning, it's really just understanding what their spirituality is. And for some clients, it's unclear, and we might do some work on helping explore that. But then looking at it in terms of what in your life impacted your view of spirituality. And that is when I did my spiritual life map a few years ago, is when I realized that the threads through my life were creative. I've always had art hobbies, and they were always around working with people and listening and being intuitive, and made a lot of decisions in my life based strictly by my gut, my intuition, not really realizing that spirit was guiding me in those decisions throughout my whole life. And when I made that shift about 10 years ago, my work life changed dramatically. Suddenly, all of these opportunities opened up to me. That's when I had the opportunity to become a mindfulness advocate where I work. And on the side of my desk, IT person most of my day, but I was able to do presentations and lead meditation sessions and talk about it. And that was a game changer for me. Wow. I've had many people that I work with, who I've worked with probably for 20 years, you know, say to me a few years ago, what did you do? You are a totally different person. And can I do what you're doing? Because they had noticed.
You got to do the spiritual life map.
That's what I tell you. You have to do that. But so that's when I was started getting that feedback, I realized that how I felt was actually being presented out energetically into the world. So
yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. So you do a lot of writing for our Connecticut magazine, Natural Nutmeg. And people, if you go to naturalnutmeg.com, you can find Lori's articles. Just search by her name, Lori Ingram. And they'll come up under our section under purpose as well. And that's what we're going to talk about next, is soul purpose. And one of the things you said to me, and you've probably written this in one of your articles, but when we were talking about, you know, what we were going to discuss for this show, you said something that struck me as extremely meaningful and important, and what people should hear, is that you said, we run the risk of making, quote, finding our purpose, another goal in life to strive for, like finding a partner, losing 10 pounds, getting the new job, when finding your purpose is more of a journey. Perhaps our purpose at its essence is the journey.
Yes. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah. And I think that's a tough one for people to digest and embrace, because it's like, wait a minute. It's about getting somewhere. Yes. somewhere. What it's do you mean striving. That our purpose is the journey? Like that's something you really, I think you really have to like sit with and just, you know, like, okay, how do I feel about that? Like, what if my purpose really is, you know, not necessarily the accomplishment, the huge goal, the amazing career, the great relationship, the health, maybe the purpose is the experiences along the way.
Maybe our purpose is to live, but to live fully, right? Mm-hmm. To live with curiosity, you know, to live with intention, and to really go on a journey of consciousness. You know, and that's something that I really have just, I have thought a lot about as well. You know, we strive for so much in life. You know, as I mentioned in the quote, we strive for the promotion. And what happens when we get the promotion? Well, we start looking for the
next
promotion, right? Right, exactly. Or we lose the 10 pounds, then what's next? Well, you know, maybe I need to, you know, there we tend to, just as, you know, as humans, always then look for the next thing, the next job, the next, you know, the next new car, that whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I challenge myself first, and now I challenge my clients, is say, well, what is it about that car that you want? Or what is it about that job that you're really seeking? You know, what is really driving you? And that's when people really step back. And I went through the same thing. You know, I was on a corporate ladder for a long time and got pretty far. And then I realized that the title was just a title. And what was really getting me up every day and going to work was the joy of working with people and being supportive and being compassionate and being a leader in the organization as a mindful leader in the organization. And I didn't have to have 100 people working for me to do that. So that's the unraveling of that I think is actually, I think it's fun to kind of ask those questions. And a lot of these questions may not have answers, but it doesn't mean you can't ponder and you can't discuss and you can't wonder.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's so important to ask the questions because we don't ask ourselves those questions on a regular basis, right? I mean, the majority of us, we don't. It's always, okay, I accomplished this. Now, what do I want next? And then you go right into the whole, you know, grind of getting to that next thing. And you never stop and think like, why am I doing this? What am I doing it for? What do I really want? What does it mean to me? Like all those questions you ask. And I think it's hard to be objective and sit and ask those questions of yourself. That's why I think working with you would be so amazing for people because you hold the space for that.
And we're also not often in our body. And I think you'll know what I mean when I talk about that. We are not always connected with our body. So one of the things I also do with my clients is really teach them how to be in their body and how to listen to what their body is telling them, because there's a lot of wisdom in our body that we can listen to. And I do think that that's the other kind of leg to the stool, so to speak, is really tuning into and being able to hear what our body is telling us from, you know, listening to our gut, so to speak, right? The intuition that's there. You know, grounding is something that people don't realize is very critical to really connecting with who you are.
Yeah, definitely. So two things. Explain what you mean by grounding.
Grounding essentially is feeling your body and knowing that your body is you, and being able to really tune into the feelings that are always there in your body. So essentially like a tree is grounded in the earth, right? The roots are down in the earth. And that's actually the exercise I take folks through. You should know, imagine you're a tree and you're just grounded. Essentially it's that. And we're often so busy that, or if we're very spiritual, we're often up in the sky, right? And not connected to the earth. And we are living on earth. So we have to be connected to the earth and here in reality and surviving, as well as being up in the sky.
So grounding to me, like my definition would be having your feet physically on the earth, whether you're on the grass or you're at a beach or mm-hmm. something like that. But it sounds like what you're saying is it can also just be being with yourself, sitting yeah. and meditating or being mindful, just sitting with yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be that you have to go out and walk in nature.
Right. Not necessarily. Because for some folks, you know, if I'm dealing with them and they're not here locally, they may not be able to go actually outside in nature. They live in the city, New York City, you know, it's a little bit harder, right? So I give them visualization techniques to help them. And also there's crystals and other things you can actually bring into practices to help you as well.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And I think also, you know, when you say we're not in our bodies or listening to our body, yes, absolutely. Number one, I think people live from like here up in their head all the time, right?
Right.
There's a lot of things that your body can tell you if you are just quiet and mindful, and things might be going on in like something might be hurting. Why is it hurting? Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a lot of different medical, like alternative medical professionals, say acupuncture, say people that are that weave more spiritual work into what they do. And interestingly enough, like a lot of them have said to me, you know, things like, okay, if you're having, for example, like, I don't know, heart palpitations, arrhythmia, something like that, to really look at, okay, what are you feeling that is heart-centered? Is there something
exactly.
in your life that you've lost, or did you have a heartbreak or things like, you know, something like that? And it's really amazing to relate an organ system to something that might be going on in your world, for sure.
Yes.
So I definitely want to talk about more about that when we get back. You're listening to the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about soul purpose with Lori Ingram. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
We're back on the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. I am talking today with Lori Ingram. She is a certified interspiritual counselor, and you can learn more about her at www.loriingram.com. That's LauriIngram.com. So when we just left for the break, Lori, we were talking about how important it is to be in your body and just notice what your body is trying to tell you. I mean, we've been sort of referring to like, oh, I listen to my gut. People say that all the time. Like, I listen to my right. gut. Well, your gut actually does talk to you as well as your other organ systems. And I was saying, you know, I have had other practitioners, you know, say to me, oh, if you're having, you know, something going on with your heart or could be another organ system, it could relate to something that's actually happening in your life. Like you could be struggling in a relationship. Or you could be having, you know, problems. It doesn't have to be, you know, a relationship as in a partner. It could also be like a parent-child relationship or even a friend you could have like heartache over. So let's just touch on that for a minute, because I think that's probably a new concept for a lot of people.
It is. It is. And one of the things that I noticed in myself from a very young age, and I think... eventually it comes up with almost every one of my clients, especially if they're women, is the throat. And they'll talk about, you know, getting sore throats or scratchy throats or tightness in their throats. And I explore that with them because I say, well, tell me more about that, because inevitably especially as women, many of us have not been comfortable speaking up for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking our truth, being authentic. You know, the throat, and if you're familiar with the chakra system, you know, the energy centers in our body, the throat chakra, whenever I do energy work with my clients, inevitably the energy center in the throat chakra is almost always either closed or very diminished. So that's an example of people maybe not realizing that, oh, you know, how come, like, I feel like I can't talk, you know, or they start coughing. You know, that's usually an indication that, you know, there's something to explore there. Something to explore about why you, you know, what's going on with you being able to be comfortable with speaking your truth.
Right. Exactly. I have this interesting story. And actually, it kind of relates to epigenetics. And then I think we were talking about it on one of our calls, and somebody said, I'm going to talk about my friend Amy. So her father was a marathon runner, and this guy ran marathons till he was like 90 years old, to almost like up until a year before he passed away. Never had any knee issues, never had a hip issue, never had knee replacement or hip replacement, nothing, no problems whatsoever. I don't even think he ever had any joint pain. He's just like one of those amazing people that can run marathons and not have their body completely break down. Well, my girlfriend ends up having to have a double knee replacement at 50 years old. And I was talking to a chiropractor. He's like, there's no way, you got to send me her scans, because she had gone through like the traditional orthopedic route or whatever. He's like, there's no way she's having double knee replacement at 50 years old. Because he had asked me all these questions. Was she a marathon runner? Like, what kinds of things did she do? And all, you know, like, did she beat herself with, you know, doing all kinds of crazy fitness running and whatever? And not really, I mean, she's a fitness person, but she didn't do anything that excessive that you would expect she would have to have a double knee replacement. And sure enough, he looked at the scans. He's like, oh yeah. Like, he's like, there's nothing we could do. It actually is that bad. And so I was using it as an example of epigenetics, where your grandparents or your parents pass something down to you that they didn't even deal with, but it's in their genes. And now you get it in your genes. And then you said, well, maybe it's that she is having trouble standing on her own two feet.
Right.
There's
so many different ways of looking at it. The other way, which could take us down a whole nother conversation, is I do occasionally have clients, because some of the work I do involves past lives, is sometimes that pain may be an unresolved, something unresolved from either a past life or earlier in their life that they're carrying with them, and they don't even realize it. Mm. So it's fascinating to really look at that mind, body, spirit connection. And it opens up a whole other way of looking at what's going on in our bodies.
Yeah, definitely. I think also, like, when I started going down this path of reading all these different books and learning about spirituality, one book I read, I forget what it was now, but it talked basically about how we have this energy field around our body, and essentially disease will manifest in the energy field before it actually manifests in the physical body. And medical intuitives, or people who are very sensitive can actually see that sometimes, or feel it, I guess, in when they're working on a client. And so that to me was really eye-opening, that, like, wow, before we even get a disease, it has been around us, so to speak, for a while. And because of the way that we think, or our belief systems, like all of that energy, we're holding that negative energy, so to speak, around us that potentially could manifest into something that, you know, is a chronic health issue.
I have a little story for that, very, very briefly. I did have, 8 years ago now, maybe more, breast cancer. And about a year or two before that, I was working with an energy healer, and they were around my shoulder, and they said, is there something, is your shoulder bothering you? And I said, no, it just feels fine. And, you know, was like a year later, my breast cancer actually was up, way up here near my shoulder. And it always stuck with me that I wondered if they felt some kind of an energy of some kind that was eventually did manifest. And I always wondered that. And I do suspect there is some truth. There is truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, we are energetic beings, right? We have those auras around us. Not to say that all disease, you know, is that way, but I typically, you know, encourage folks to, you know, consider all, you know, especially through natural nutmeg and all the different practitioners out there. There's so many ways you can explore your health.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So one other thing I want to make sure that we talk about, because I found this also fascinating in terms of the work you do, but one of your programs is coaching people on what to do in the last third of their life. And so essentially, I think a lot of people are thinking, what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit on the couch. I'm retired.
Right.
But I don't know about that. I'm fine. I'm feeling like that was kind of the generation that is now, you know, in their 80s or 90s and kind of like that, the oldest generation. I feel like our group of people, let's say like people that are 50 to 70 now or 75 ish are not looking at their life like that. Like I know some people that tell me they're never going to retire. Like they love what they do. They have their own business or they're in some field that they absolutely love and they're never going to retire. And other people that, you know, maybe like yourself who worked in a corporate situation, but now there's still an aspect of that that you love, but you want to move more into doing what you feel your soul purpose is now in terms of how you work one-on-one with people.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, what are the kinds of things that you do with people to help them figure out what might be next?
Well, I'm a perfect example of someone that had a very long corporate career, but always had interests and hobbies outside of that. And I always kept them going. And if, you know, the thing is, you know, I just have been struggling a bit with the word retirement, right? And somebody told me that I believe it's in Spanish. The word for retirement is actually jubilation, means jubilation. And I kind of like that better. Mm. And the way I look at it is, depending on your situation, it's really a shift of what am I doing for the rest of my life? And we've all been in situations where we work really hard. And in many cases, we've worked for other people. But there comes a time where you just want to work and really be joyful and love what you do. And it might be volunteering. You could become an entrepreneur. You can choose your schedule. But I work with folks to really identify what is it that brings you joy. Where do you see yourself getting up in the morning and just looking forward to the day? Looking forward to whatever you might be doing, whether it's, being a holistic gardener or perhaps deciding to pursue a hobby that you've always wanted to. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a financial thing, but it's finding fulfillment and being content. And content's a word I like to use a little more than joy or even happy, because joy and happy almost seems a bit fleeting. But if you can be content and feel fulfilled with moments of joy and happiness, I think that would be a great way to spend the last third of your life. At least that's what I'm doing.
I think it is essential because I see people who retire, and this is, you know, I'm going to tell the story about my boyfriend's father who just passed away. He retired and literally he proceeded to sit on the couch for, I don't know, you know, like for years. And now granted, well this is interesting because my philosophy on it is what happened to him happened because of what he did in retirement. Now, other people's philosophy might be, oh no, it's genetic and, you know, that was inevitable and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, he ended up getting Alzheimer's. And yes, it was in the family. But as you know, that's not a genetic, his brother didn't get it. And mm-hmm. it's not a genetic, or it's not like a death sentence. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, you have Alzheimer's, you're going to get it. We haven't really figured out why some people get it and some people don't in terms of how it's genetically passed. But I watched him basically, you know, go from, you know, having a somewhat active retirement where he did play some golf and he, mm-hmm. you know, they had the place down in Florida. They would go down to Florida, but I started to see him as he got older and, you know, more things hurt, had some more aches or pain, aches and pains, whatever, his back hurt. He started playing golf less. He started walking less. He started started having trouble hearing. And so he was less social and it just became more and more of this isolation. And mm-hmm. then, which obviously ended up, you know, with Alzheimer's progressing, and then he had to go into a memory care facility. But I really think that a lot of that could have been avoided if he had had another purpose to work towards in retirement. And I think everyone needs to do this. I mean, look at how long people are living now. I mean, mm-hmm. our longevity is way, way longer than it used to be. And every year, it seems like we're finding more things to keep people alive longer, curing diseases or preventing them altogether and whatnot. So we're gonna, I mean, I just went to this longevity conference last fall. And the projection is literally like for someone my age in our 50s that we might possibly be able to live to 125. Now, I don't know if
wow.
want to,
that's a whole nother question.
But exactly. But if you are, if that's what's going to happen, but you need to take care of yourself and absolutely. You need to have a purpose.
And you do need to have a purpose. Yes. And my father's story is very similar. You know, I think he worked until he was 82 and played golf. And once physically he wasn't able to play golf anymore. And, you know, he really didn't have really anything else, you know, and you have to look at adjusting your passions based on where, you know, you're, you know, where you are physically, right. And mentally, but keeping your mind occupied and sharp is very important.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things that, yeah.
Critical, I think. And even more so, I mean, I love what you're doing because I think there is going to be such a huge demand for it. And I think that people need to realize retirement does not mean that your life just stops and you go sit on the couch or, you know, yes, you want to do things like travel and spend time with your grandchildren and, you know, do things around your home or whatever it might be. But also I feel like there's got to be more. I think there has to be something more because that's to me, sole purpose is really more about finding out what your gift is and giving it to the world. Essentially,
exactly. Like you said,
doesn't have to be a monetary thing. Yeah. Hopefully people are in a situation where they don't have to make money and they can really focus on what they, you know, what they really love. So we're going to talk more when we come back. You're listening to the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Lori Ingram. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you constantly trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, and what your purpose is? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you to the core of your soul blueprint. Knowing your soul blueprint helps you to figure out your life in a way that works best for you on your own terms. You'll walk away feeling genuinely seen, heard, and appreciated for the gift that you truly are in the universe. To register for her Soul Blueprint online course and Soul Blueprint reading, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
We're back on the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am talking today to Lori Ingram. She's a certified interspiritual counselor. You can learn more about her at www.loriingram.com. That's LauriIngram.com. And you can learn more about me at www.drdianehayden.com. So Welcome back, Lori. We're talking about what people can do in the last third of their life, which I think for some people, they're probably thinking, what are you talking about? I'm just retiring. That's it.
Right.
And I was just saying, I think it's so important that our mind stays active. Maybe that's what I want, what I was trying to get at before we left for break, that it's yes, you want to do fun things in your retirement, but I think it's really critical to keep your mind active.
Yes.
So what, tell us, if there's anything else you want to say about that. And then I also want to make sure that you have a couple of case studies that you wanted to share with our listeners. So
sure. No, I think the one or two case studies I have are perfect examples of keeping your mind active and perhaps even being a bit surprised on where your life takes you. So I can share, let me start by sharing with one of a woman who is now, I've lost track, but I believe she's over 95, I believe. And I've known her for quite a while. Someone who had a very full life with her husband. They never really retired. And when they retired, they traveled, but they had just a great relationship. And but he passed away, and she found herself very lonely and not knowing what to do. Now what do I do? And she actually, interestingly enough, in her 80s, started a spiritual journey that she had never been on. She'd never been on. It was never something that really came into her world, other than, having a family and grandchildren and going the church route. Suddenly in her early mid 80s, she said, I don't think that's really what I believe. And so she's, in a way, been an inspiration to me in many ways, because at that age, she started asking herself, what do I really believe? And she went on an exploration of all sorts of mystical, angels and, she was a master gardener. So she became fascinated with, elementals and spirits that live in our gardens and the earth. And,
garden gnomes, but you're
garden. No, I mean, all of it was a whole world that I actually had never been exposed to. So I learned a lot by companioning her on that journey. When you talk about physical limitations, when you get into your 90s, you're not as physically active, right? So, but she was still able to really explore and build this whole world that I'm sure has kept her, active and engaged now, in her mid 90s. So
that's amazing.
That was her just being open and asking the questions, and just being curious.
So, yeah, definitely. It's so funny. My mother actually was a devout Catholic for I don't know how many years. And literally after this whole COVID thing, she's like, I'm not sure this is for me anymore. And she stopped going to church. And she's actually saying things to me like, why am I still here? What is my purpose? And I'm like, well, you're still here. So it must be something. I think I'm going to have her call you.
And you're right. I think
she's 88 years,
and she's eight. You don't have to be, in your 50s to be asking these questions.
Right.
A lot of my clients and also people who come to my, a lot of the meditation sessions I run, a lot of the group stuff I do are older, because they are asking those exact questions. And, they want to make the most of their time here. And what better time to really ask those questions as you're coming to that, transition into whatever is next after this life.
Yeah. Wow. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Was there anybody else you wanted
to talk? I actually want to kind of do an opposite and talk about actually a very young client that I had.
Yeah.
Just as an indication that, you don't have to necessarily be, over 50 to be wondering And it was a client that I worked with who was, I believe, in her 20s and really struggling with, as many in that age group are, what do I really want to do, you know, with my life, and really finding meaning. And one of the modalities that I offer to my clients, if it's a good fit, is something called crystal dreaming, which is a very deep, it's actually a shamanic practice of going into and expanding your consciousness. And it's like a 2-hour session. And I, you know, after talking to her, she really felt that there was just something she couldn't grasp, but it was right there and she could feel it. So we did a crystal dreaming session, and, you know, she was very, very relaxed and just allowing, you know, messages from her soul to come through. And a memory popped up, a memory of when she was little, where she had written a book. And I can't remember the name of the book at the time. It was, Dandelion or Chrysanthemum or something, but she had written this book. And at the end of the session, she said, that's it. She said, I need to pull that book out and I need to pursue being an author of children's books.
Wow.
Because she just, that memory just opened up for her this whole world that she had kind of forgotten about or shut off. And that's what she did. So, you know, very often this stuff is just under the surface for us.
Yep.
You know, we just have to be, you know, consciousness is a fascinating thing. So, you know, we just really have to be open to and listen to what our soul and our spirit is really whispering to us, I believe, all the time. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it is too, but I think it's also extremely helpful to work with someone like you, because how many times do we say, oh, we're going to meditate. Oh, we're going to take this time. We're going to sit down.
Right.
We're going to, you know, do all this stuff. But really, you really do need someone like you to hold the space and to actually, mm-hmm. you know, give us the opportunity to do that. And I think that's amazing. I mean, honestly, I think, like I said, everybody should be doing this work. I hope everyone who's listening will contact you for sure. And again, your website is www.lauriingram.com, LauriIngram.com. I want to thank you so much for being with us today, Lori. It was a pleasure and so informative. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into the Dr. Diane Show. Please join me the first and third Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Next time on the Dr. Diane Show, we'll be discussing more about the power of thoughts and beliefs and the impact they have on your life. Have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time. Thank you for tuning into the Dr. Diane Show, Revolutionary Expansion of Mind, Body, and Soul with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Center your thoughts on what you want and shut the door on every suggestion of fear, worry, or lack from your own consciousness or the consciousness around you. Once you master that, everything is possible. To learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital subscription of my magazine, visit naturalnutmeg.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.